Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Community and Public Health Committee. We'll begin this morning with a roll call.
On the roll for the Community and Public Health Committee meeting of June 20th, 2019, Director Barrett.
Here.
Director Canepa, Director Joya. Here. Director Haggerty, Director Niss, Director Miley, Director Wagon Connect, Director Wilson, Committee Vice Chair Ross.
Here.
Committee Chair Zane.
Here.
Board Chair Rice.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, very good. With that, we will stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and I will ask Chair Rice to lead us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, our first item is a public comment on agenda items. Are there any cards?
No.
No. No, it's on agenda. And then our second item is public comment on non-agenda items. Any cards? Or anybody that would like to speak? You can. I'm not seeing anybody, so with that, we will go on to the approval of the minutes on May 20th. Do I hear a motion? And a second?
Second.
Okay, motion second. There's no comments. We will approve those minutes. And now we're going to go into the body of our committee meeting today, and we will first begin with an update on the Richmond Air Monitoring Plan. And then we'll have an update on the proposed youth engagement strategy. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to the staff. And it looks like, Mr. Ned, you're going to be doing it?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Director Zane, thank you. This morning, we're lucky enough to have two of our community co-leads from Richmond to assist with presenting the update on the AB 617 Community Monitoring Plan in Richmond. So Mr. Randy Joseph, Mr. Willie Robinson, and the lead staff on this project, Kristen Law. So I know who's gonna lead off. Willie, are you up?
Good morning.
Good morning.
To committee chairperson Zane and the other committee members. I am Willie Robinson from the Richmond area. I am also president of the Richmond branch NAACP.
All right.
I have joining me this morning Randy Joseph from Rice Center and staff member from the Air Quality Management, Kristen Law.
Okay, great.
I'm here.
Thank you. Welcome.
To be a part of this presentation to you this morning. And we thank you for this opportunity to present to you, to let you know what we're doing in with the team from the Richmond-San Pablo area. To start us off, we'll hear from Kristen, who will direct the first part of the presentation.
Great. Thank you, Willie. Good morning. Again, I'm Kristen Law. I'm one of the community engagement specialists in the community engagement section at the Air District. Okay. See if I can make this work. All right. So as you already know, there are two communities that have been chosen for the first year under the AB 617 program. Richmond San Pablo was chosen as a monitoring plan community. And the reason for that is because Richmond has high emissions from many types of sources. We have a refinery, chemical plants, landfills, water treatment facility, metal scrapping, marine terminals, ports, freeways, congested freeways, major arteries like the Richmond Parkway, and many others. In addition to these pollution sources, the area experiences high health and socioeconomic inequities, making the people who live there vulnerable to the negative impacts of air pollution. And so the data that we'll gather from additional air monitoring is needed to help us identify air quality issues and related sources in order to develop and implement more informed emission reduction plans later on. Also, as you might have heard, because AB 617 has been around for a little while now, is that AB617 lays out requirements for two community-driven programs, a community action plan, also known as a mission reduction plan, and a community monitoring plan. And there's some important differences that we wanted to highlight. So the purpose of the community action plan is to identify, prioritize, and implement emissions and exposure reductions from sources within the community that contribute to disparate air quality burden. And so generally, the community action plans are more appropriate for communities where we sort of already have a good sense of what's going on and can go direct to action. And the timeline is pretty strict, so you have 1 year from community selection to board approval at CARB. On the other hand, a monitoring plan is to identify and quantify a contribution of different sources to inform an emissions or exposure reduction plan. And so there's no formal timeline here. We do have to have initial monitoring efforts deployed by July 1, but we do plan to submit a plan, and we do expect that that plan will evolve as we're collecting data and having discussions about the data. All right, so AB617 also, well, the CARB blueprint specifically lays out clear guidelines for community-driven action. And here at the Air District, we took that really seriously. And so back in May of 2018, we started our process, and we kind of went through a somewhat traditional government process where we worked with legal to develop a new type of request for proposal where we would enable more community-funded participation. We also engaged in lots of conversations in the Richmond community. We had the RFP open for longer than usual. We held office hours and bidders conferences in the community of Richmond, trying to make it really accessible and to provide technical assistance to folks who may not have applied for grants with the Air District or government entities before. However, despite all of this work over many months, no community members applied, even though many showed up to our office hours, many seemed really interested, none ended up applying. And so we had to reimagine an entirely different process. One of the good things that came out of that RFP, however, was that we did get some great proposals for neutral facilitation. And so we were able to work with an organization called MIG out of Berkeley, who had also done a lot of work in the Richmond area previously, to facilitate and convene a team to work with us, a team of community members to work with us at the Air District, to design a process for community engagement that would better meet the needs of the Richmond community. And so this is what that process ended up looking like, and Willie, Randy, and I will sort of walk you through it. All right, so in November 2018, we held a meeting in Richmond to launch this community-driven effort. At this meeting, we promised the community that we would leverage the power and wisdom within the people who live in the Richmond and San Pablo area to build trusting relationships and to develop an authentic process for participation. And we knew that we couldn't do this without hearing from as many people as possible. And about 85, I want to say more than 85, but the sign-in sheet said 85, so that's what we're going with, people attended that meeting and shared ways to ensure that this process remained grounded in community need and remained community-driven. At this meeting, we also invited community representatives an opportunity to join us on what we were calling a community design team. And we received numerous applications, and anyone who applied who fit the criteria of either living in the area or working for a community-based organization that served people in the area were offered a spot on the team. And while we had originally hoped for about 5 or 6, we ended up with 11 passionate people who were ready to roll up their sleeves and work with us over quite a few months to develop a community engagement strategy that is proving to be quite effective. And so I'm going to hand it over to Randy, who's going to share a little bit more about this process. So I got you ready.
Hello, everybody. I'm Randy Joseph. I'm from the Richmond Rise Center in Richmond, California, and I'm also a Richmond resident. Part of the process is that I was also one of the people on the design team, and one of the big things of Design Center to make sure that we had 11 community members who cared about wanting to change the air quality in the city of Richmond and San Pablo. And we did a lot of work with making sure that we had real transparency to make sure when we got to this steering committee format, that we did a lot of work with making sure that we had the charter was clear, that it had everything spelled out, designing that, making sure that we chose our co-leads to make sure that everything, they were people who were in the community, people that was going to do the hard work. We had over 6 meetings. We did a lot of work with planning the charter, planning the next community summit to have more community members to come back and talk more about what they wanted to see a steering committee look like, what the charter would look like, having input on that. And through those 6 meetings, listening to Ms. Margaret from West Oakland to talk about how they did monitoring, their monitoring output, how they did things, talking about what we wanted it to look like eventually. We did a lot of work around that. It was over four months, 6 meetings. And then even after our community summit, choosing the steering committee members, making sure that it wasn't just industry, it was also community engagement in that, and making sure that that was put in the forefront of everything. Then we had the community, the summit that the design team started creating, and we planned out over those 4 months to come together, including the steering committee membership and decision making. We did a lot of work with sharing with what we were doing in those design teams, sharing what the charter was, asking the community questions about what they wanted to see in the charter, what they wanted to see in the community steering committee, what kind of participation they wanted. We wanted to make sure that this was community led at all times, and having this summit and having over 85 people there really helped. And then from that community summit, people applied to be part of the steering committee. And we had, let's say, about 45 to 50 people. Yeah, 50 people applied for that. And we had to narrow it down to 35. And we had to have 2 extra meetings on top of the 4 meetings we're supposed to have to try to dwindle the list to 35, because there's a lot of people that either just fit in or try to make sure that we had representation of everywhere from Richmond and San Pablo, to make sure that it wasn't just heavily industry, but it was also community-driven, having community members, and especially people of youth and color. That was something that was very important as well. And I'm going to pass it on to Willie.
But you're all set up. Oh, okay. So the right arrow. Hi, I'm back.
Good morning.
I think I start with the identifying the co-lead team, which was somewhat of a challenge. It started out as we left the design teams. I was chosen as the earlier co-lead member, and at that particular point in time, we were deciding to add more, but allow the steering committee to do that selection. And so after we went through that process, we wind up selecting 4 other members of the co-lead team, and one was a staff person from the area of quality management. And as you can see, is Linda from Santa Fe Neighborhood Council, Nema Yesi from community member, Nema Lopez from West County 55. We have myself, and then Randy Joseph, whom you've heard from, and then Kate is our technical person, who is the doctor and scientist for the team, which helped guides us through the technical process. And as a result of that co-lead team, we had to come together to try to determine with the co-lead of 5 how we really going to operate. And that kind of enters the challenge, because trying to speak and have one voice and be clear in terms of what direction you're going to be guiding, we went through that. And I believe we've come to a point where we are very manageable. We believe that we are doing a good job of what we do. And it looks like the results are coming from the steering committee, who seems to be pleased with our action. Did I go backward? Okay, this the
the 35-member...
Can I just ask you...
Yes.
Would you tell us what the difference is between the co-lead team and the steering committee? That's what I'm not clear about. But maybe you're going to do that, so...
Well, yes, I'll... I'm not sure in terms of the presentation how clear that is, but the co-leads basically is a part of the team that works in the interim of the steering committee meeting and take the information as developed from the steering committee, try to process it, because you can imagine a team of 35 trying to get to a conclusion, and in a meeting period of 2 hours, you have to kind of sort through that. And the, I guess the main idea is to not to try to process that and give it back to at the next meeting so they can better understand what took place. So our process tried to be is that as we lead the steering committee meetings, we want to make sure that we are clearly defining what we accomplished and then using the next step ahead to come back and say this is what we've done and this is what we're presenting back to you. And that is borne out in a process that we'll get through in this presentation.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So of the 35, of the steering committee, of the 35 members, we've had 12 meetings to date, and those meetings are coming together very well, trying to get us to the point where we are concluding with the end product, which is starting up a monitoring plan in place by July 1. The dynamics of this co-lead team, the dynamics of the steering committee is one in which the feedback and information we're gleaning from developing the maps that we had to do in terms of defining our area, basically you're looking at a... This is a demapping process that we went through where we, as a steering committee team, we broke up into areas, got the input in terms of the focus of the members on the in the breakout session, and that information was processed and brought back to the through the co-lead team, who then tried to synthesize it to the point where we came back to them with a presentation so that they could understand what the different ideas that surfaced out of the mini teams meeting. We often in the co-lead meeting try to make sure that we are defining things as we heard them and making sure that we're not adding to that, so we are changing the ideas and the concept that they have for them. Part of that process was to get us to a general area that covers our target area for the Richmond-San Pablo area, identifying the various points in terms of monitoring, in terms of what's existing and where the services would be, the monitoring activities would provide to help us better clearly define. We are also using data from Fair Air Quality Management and other partners in the community who are presently doing monitoring. They're all monitors at the various at Chevron Refinery, at Fence Line, that helps us to kind of come to a better understanding as to what we are meeting our scope and desire of getting to this plan that we want to have by July 1. The areas. Geographic areas were basically defined by Richmond, South Richmond, Harbor area, West County, which a part of our area does include not only the city of San Pablo and Richmond, but also portions of West County. The various, I guess we call them items that does tend to produce pollution would be from such things as roadways, railways, obviously the refineries and the terminal that we have there. And we try to identify the vulnerability of who's impacted and who's producing the pollutant in the area that need to be monitored. We've kind of gotten to a point, we did get to a point where the meeting prior to last night meeting was that we presented back to them the information that had been synthesized and brought together and presented back into a couple of areas that in terms of what we want to do had to have the steering committee make the decision as to what would be the major area of focus. So as we conclude this, I believe we're going to come back with clearly identifying what took place last night. Oh, you'll cover that.
Go ahead, Director Barrett.
I just have one more question following up on the question by Chair Zane. Are the lead... group people, the co-lead team, are they also on the steering committee?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, good. Thank you.
You're going to wrap up, and then we have some questions, too.
Yeah, I'll wrap up really quickly. I just wanted to build off of what Willie started with. So last night we had a steering committee meeting where we brought this map with the focus areas that the steering committee had defined in the previous two steering committees that we had. And in addition to bringing back these focus areas, the co-leads brought back some proposals to meet that July deadline of having some initial monitoring in place. And we had an almost unanimous vote of yes for all three of the monitoring efforts that will be deployed in July. And so two of those are partnering with some CARB grantees who are also on the steering committee, so Groundwork Richmond, who will be deploying 50 monitors throughout the study area. They already have 7 up. And PSC and APEN, who will also be putting 50 sensors into the area. And the third is one you've already heard a lot about, and that's working with ACLIMA to do some mobile monitoring throughout the entire study area. And so we are feeling really proud that we got to that point in such a short period of time. And so let me just quickly wrap up with what's next. So we had our steering committee yesterday. We know what our initial monitoring efforts will be. The co-leads are meeting again this afternoon. It's a tireless group. And we'll be sort of processing everything that we heard yesterday, and we heard a lot. There was a lot of interest in what's going to come after July and folks wanting to know that there will be deeper dives beyond these three sort of screening efforts that we'll be doing. After which, July 10th is our next steering committee meeting. We'll work with the steering committee to begin to prioritize our focus areas and the monitoring objectives and approaches within those focus areas, which will feed into our monitoring plan. We'll have a community summit in the fall. We're not sure when yet. The steering committee and the co-leads will define that. And that will be an opportunity for us to bring back to the community all the work that the co-leads and the steering committee have been up to, provide an opportunity for the community members who are interested to give us some input and some feedback on the direction we're going in. And all the while we are deploying those initial monitoring efforts, we'll also be identifying near-term action. So as we're learning new information from the new monitoring that is deployed, we'll be able to identify some actions that we can take immediately, whether it's, you know, enforcement or something else. And our hope is to be able to get really deep into those focus areas in that map and analyze the data that we're getting and ultimately inform a future action plan. And so that is it. Thank you so much. I also, since the two of them announced this, I also am a resident of Richmond. And so it's been really cool to do this work there.
Okay, that's great. I know I have some questions, but I'll start here on my right with Director Gioia.
Thanks. I want to first express appreciation, Randy, Willie, the whole group. As both an Air Resources Board member and an Air District member and the County Supervisor for the Air, I feel it's been important to go. I've gone to all the meetings, and I've watched the whole process, been involved from the beginning. And I think it's been, there's a great, I think, diverse community steering committee and a great co-lead team. And I think the co-leads sort of are have that role of implement, working hard to roll up their sleeves and implement what comes out of the steering committee, because you know there's a lot of follow-up action that's needed. And I think they're representative of the broader community, and I think that's been great. And I also think the staff, my observation is that the staff has clearly served in a role to be supportive and helpful, and not to tell the community steering committee what to do, right? But to provide the information, the expertise and resources so that they're the ones making the decision and empowered. Like last night, because of the deadline of the July 1st, you know, getting some monitoring in place, the steering committee almost unanimously said, let's take the two grantees that the Air Resources Board is funding plus the ACLIMA contract and have that monitoring be the starting point, and then they would look at filling in and adding. They had a lot of good discussion about adding more to that once they get that information. So I just wanted to observe that and say I think it's a really great, it's been a great process. And they're open public meetings. I will raise one issue that I think they will face, and I will raise it to this board because we may get asked. So as Greg and others know, there's been some requests by some groups not on the Community Steering Committee to say Richmond should be moved into being develop a emissions reduction plan next year. That issue, I think, ultimately will be put to the steering committee to decide, because I know some of us have gotten, you know, requests both as a CARB member or air quality member to say, move Richmond into the community, into the emissions reduction plan stage next year. It seems if we're truly wanting to honor the role and power of the community steering committee, they're at the right point, they will have that discussion and make that decision. And I think, Greg, that's right, sort of been some discussion. And rather than either us unilaterally making that decision or just to recommend one way or the other, but hear from that, because the request is coming from a group that is not on the community steering committee. So I think I just wanted to raise that as a heads up and a flag, because you may hear it, we may hear it, I've already heard it, that request. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, my understanding is that the co-leads are going to take that up and,
yes,
and see if they want to add that to the schedule. And I heard this morning that I think isn't West Oakland DIP planning to meet with the co-leads soon?
Right.
To talk about what it takes to put together an emission reduction plan.
Right.
What's a realistic time?
And whether there's enough monitoring information yet to,
right.
So
to
I guess
do that.
My right. question is why, I mean, you know, everybody loves to toss grenades from the outside. Why isn't this group participating?
They were actually invited to participate and decided not to. It's CBE. They actually
oh, that's
had,
too bad.
They were invited, actually. They just decided not to participate on the steering committee. I think they were working on a lot of other things, and
okay.
they felt they were – I think it was that they felt they were busy doing other things. In fact, I think the main reason that there are other groups that could be on it that decided not to is just capacity issues. Everybody's doing so many
yeah.
things in so many areas that it takes time. An effort to be on the steering committee
what
or to be co-leads.
What does CBE stand for? Excuse me.
Committees for a Better Environment.
Oh, okay, great. All right, as long as they were invited, that's fine. I mean, they can always make suggestions
yeah.
from the outside, but you know, if you want a voice, you got to sit at the table, right? So it's great. This is all about community. I think that's fine. They make the suggestion. Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah. Just yeah.
Okay.
Just.
That's good. Thank you for bringing that up. Okay, other questions or comments? Yes.
Excellent work.
Yes. Any comments down yeah. this side of the dais? Yes.
Because I really appreciate the presentation and hearing a little bit. I mean, I know it was just a sort of really high level of all the work that's been going on in the process. But what I wanted to do actually is throw a question back at you. And at staff, and actually not staff that's maybe directly involved, because in a couple conversations I've had offline, it seems like the broader staff at the Air District is really learning something about public process and the value of inclusion and patience. Everyone's learning about patience, frankly, and that we all have something to learn. But I wonder, Mr. Nutt, if you might comment on sort of your observations and your own learning curve from where you sit.
I mean, we've learned a tremendous amount on how to do community meetings correctly, and we learned it from our community partners, and that's one of the reasons why we thought it was so important to have this co-lead structure in Richmond as well.
I also wanted to add that I went to Sacramento a couple months back to meet with a lot of people who were doing AB 617 work and to hear about how they talked about their relationships with the Air District and how, like, it sounded like a fight and, like, they hated each other and and how the relationship was, like, tenuous and it was really
yeah.
bad. And coming from that meeting, I knew it was, like, we don't have those problems. I think for us working with the Bay Area Air Quality Management District team, they've really understood that this is a community process, that they're just there to support, and they give us the information that's needed, and they move out the way. And I think for me, when I'm at steering committees or I'm talking to people, and they look at, I think one time we're doing a map exercise, and one of the steering committees said, well, what are you guys going to do, Bay Area Management District? And it was like, well, it's not what they want to do, it's what we want to do. And so stop looking at them for a plan and let us look at the community for the plan. And I think for that support has helped us push this along really far.
I think we tend to be a little uneasy when we don't see organization that looks hierarchical, because that's what we're used to. And thus the question, who's leading who between the steering committee and the co-lead. But obviously you're doing it, and I think it's wonderful that you're doing it. And I hope that we're able to learn a lot from your process. And I guess I wanted to go back to you, Mr. Nudd, and because you did say we're learning a lot, and get a little bit more specific. Can you identify some things you're learning?
I would say in terms of how you pace the meetings, how you set up the agendas for the meetings, how you present technical information, what technical information you present. It's been a tremendous opportunity for the Air District to get better at those things, and in order to have real authentic community participation in these decision-making processes.
Yeah, to go from less from a monologue and more to a dialogue, and realizing that we often speak a certain language in government that mm-hmm. other people either feel excluded by, you know. Thus, my 10-year rant against acronyms. this is really a wonderful opportunity for us, and we're probably going to learn more from it than maybe you guys are in the end, because we need to learn how to do this community engagement, and so you do have so much to teach us. So, yeah, go ahead.
Just wanted to say that we were discussing this morning, in the large group, the participation from every member of the group is not where we really think it should be, so we do have those persons who speak up a lot. So we're looking at how do we, number one, make the meeting a little bit more, I call it user-friendly, to persons who are serving on this for the first time, and to take away the stiffness that tend to come in the meetings in terms of decision-making process, so we can hear the voice of everyone. While people are participating, we don't get a lot of vocal feedback, so we're working on that. So we are growing and learning in this process ourselves.
And sometimes you got to regulate that a little bit. And even though it sounds juvenile, I've used things like talking sticks and chips. You got three chips. Once you're done with them, that's it. Somebody else gets to use their chips. But really, sometimes group dynamics are tough. And when you have a large group, it's even tougher. So getting everybody to speak up, listening to everybody's voice, that's a challenge, but if you need to use the stick and the talking and the chips, go for it. You know, eventually people will get it. They'll get that. Hey, I've said my fill. Now it's my somebody else's turn. So it's exciting what you guys are doing. Any other questions or comments? So the next steps, when you come back to us, I read the next steps, but when do you actually circle back to us in terms of the plan? Timing-wise.
To the earlier point about this being a community-led, community-driven process, uh-huh. It's kind of hard to say. the way I expect this will play out, Chair Zane, is that we'll spend the next 3 to 6 months doing this initial round of screening monitoring.
Okay.
And that will probably turn up some things that we didn't expect. And then we'll go back and we can report out what we found and what actions we took on those items that we did find. Yeah. And as Kristen noted earlier, some of these things might be obvious. It might just be, hey, we send an inspector out and they tell somebody to stop doing something and it goes away. Sometimes we may have to send out our more sophisticated equipment to do some more studies on what the likely cause is. We may end up coming back with rulemaking proposals. We just don't know what we're going to find. So, you know, my guess would be, given the timing that we expect the screening to roll out, it would be at least 6 months before we have anything kind of substantive to report back. And we should be quite a bit further along on the overall plan at that point as well.
Okay, that's great. Oh, and one last question. You didn't, or if you could please mention which businesses or industries are involved in the steering committee, since there's six members.
Chevron, Levin Terminal.
Wait, what was the second one? Chevron, what?
Levin Terminal. They're the coal. They have the coal terminal.
Oh, they're the coal. Okay, yeah. So we got oil,
Sims
coal,
Metals.
What else?
Sims Metal, Council of Industries, and a local catering.
And a local catering, that's good. Yes. Maybe they can bring some food in.
And the Chamber of Commerce is on, right? Richmond Chamber?
Correct, yeah. Richmond Chamber of Commerce.
But we do have big oil and coal, and you said metals all represented. They're the obvious, right? I'm surprised you didn't have more than just one Chevron. Yeah.
Right. And the catering business is actually a hub where folks gather. They've been impacted by pollution, and so that's their role at the table. It's not sort of with the other industry, the regulated industry.
I heard you say you were surprised that you didn't have more than one Chevron.
Yeah.
Part of that was it's not a community process to have five Chevron employees on a community.
Amen to that.
So that was a focus to make sure that it wasn't industry-led, but actually community-led, and only having one representative.
From each industry.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you. Really appreciate that. Okay, no further comments. Thank you so much. Great presentation. Real excited to hear how this gets rolled out. And maybe from staff, since we are in this learning curve, maybe in the next presentation you could have a slide about maybe some specific things that you're learning in terms of community engagement and trust. Yeah, I think the board would be interested in that. Did you have your speaker on, Mr. Joya?
No.
No, okay. All right, with that, we're gonna move on to our next item. And Director Ross has to leave at 10:30, so hopefully he can hear some of this. This is item 5, an update on the proposed youth engagement strategy.
Yes.
Hey, Randy, you can stay for that one. Yeah, good. Oh, Randy's a great member of the RISE Youth Center and does great outreach work and probably has a lot to offer on things like this.
Yeah. Hi.
All right, so this morning we wanted to have Christina Chu, who is a senior public information officer in our community engagement section, talk to you about the youth strategy as we're trying to re-envision it here at the Air District. And she'll also have some of the youth that is interning with us also give part of the presentation as well, which we're really excited about. So thank you, Christina.
That's great. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Rice. Thank you, Elizabeth. Good morning, Chair Rice. I'm sorry. So sorry.
It's okay.
Good morning, Chair Zane and members of the committee. My name is Christina Chu. I am a senior public information officer here with the community engagement team. I am pleased and very proud to present an update on the youth engagement strategy that we're working on. The community engagement team is hosting two stellar interns with us this summer, VD Santoyo, a graduate student at UC Berkeley, and Jordan Kosai, who will be a senior at Lowell High School in San Francisco this summer, or this coming year. Now we're gonna start off with why youth? Why youth is a very easy question. Images of youth from diverse backgrounds around the Bay Area and the world are gathering to show their strength and opinions about climate change. When searching Bay Area youth climate change, hundreds of images popped up, reinforcing the need for agencies to protect the environment for future generations. Youth from around the region come from very diverse backgrounds and communities and are experiencing the effects of air pollution and climate change very differently. Despite their differences, youth are mobilizing together to affect and inspire change. Young people are the future leaders of our communities. Regardless of public or private sector, the current actions of all organizations will have intended and unintended consequences that will directly impact current and future generations. The district has and will explore ways to engage our youth population. Over the years, the Air District has had a number of youth engagement opportunities. Through our Spare the Air resource teams, the Contra Costa team has worked directly with Pittsburgh Unified School District to go idle-free on campus district-wide. And our newest resource team in Marin has partnered with Marin's Safe Routes to School program to support the Park and Walk pilot program at Loma Verde Elementary School. The community engagement team has hosted a variety of school groups to tour our building. We've visited many classrooms to talk about air quality, and we've hosted high school and college interns in our office for the past several years. Most recently, the community engagement section has awarded 22 micro grants directly to schools and teachers to support education, engagement, and technical projects. Each project was for approximately $2,500, and we dispersed about $50,000 Bay Area-wide. Our main youth component stems from the Spare the Air Youth Program. In 2010, the Air District and the Metropolitan Transportation Commission formed the Spare the Air Youth Program. The program strives to educate, inspire, and empower youth and families to walk, bicycle, carpool, and take transit. With approximately 1.5 million youth in the Bay Area, there is a strong need to reach out to our youth population. The Spare the Air Youth Program includes a quarterly technical advisory committee. The meetings are primarily for adult practitioners who represent youth serving organizations and Safe Routes to School representatives. Those adults talk about, they receive professional development training and talk about best practices on how to engage youth. They also share updates on regional and state level youth policy and funding opportunities. The Spare the Air Youth Program also includes a high school grant program that's funded by MTC. Resources developed for teachers, adult practitioners, and youth are available on the sparetheairyouth.org website. And of course, there's the YES Conference. The YES Conference is a major activity of the Spare the Air Youth Program and provides us with direct interaction and engagement to Bay Area middle and high school students. The conference is free to attend and provides free breakfast and lunch for all who can attend as well. As you may recall, the first YES Conference was held in 2013. I can't click and talk, so I'm just gonna click some pictures. Through the years, the YES Conference, you're looking at pictures from previous YES Conferences, how to fix a bike, the Aquarium of the Bay, networking, information sharing, just youth gathering. Through the years, the YES Conference attendance and participation has rapidly increased. Youth from around the Bay Area attend the conference to present on their projects, learn from each other, and network with their peers and with other organizations. We've hosted the YES Conference at MTC's former building in Oakland, the Lawrence Hall of Science in Berkeley, here at the Bay Area Metro Center in 2017, and at Laney College in 2018. As you may have noted, we do not have a YES Conference plan for 2019. With many other outreach efforts underway in various communities, we wanted to take a deeper look at our youth engagement program here at the district. We wanted to explore the possibility of building out our youth engagement strategy to better engage youth more consistently over the course of a year. In addition, this extra time will allow us to better prepare for a more robust YES Conference in February of 2020. As we prepare for the YES Conference, VD and Jordan will be assisting with conference logistics. I'm going to turn this presentation over to them so they can provide a brief overview of what they will be working on this summer to help us prepare.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jordan. I am the high school intern that is going to be working with the Bay Area Air Quality Management District this summer. So,
which high school are you from?
I'm from Lowell High School.
Which is?
San Francisco.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Lowell. San Francisco. Lowell.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, in preparation for our upcoming 2020 YES Conference, we are actively recruiting Student Advisory Committee members, or SAC members, to assist the program planning and outreach strategies for the conference. Members will participate in bi-monthly planning conference calls over Google Hangouts or Skype and the occasional in-person meeting. These are the pictures from last year's in-person meetings. We held 3 in-person meetings and the rest were conducted over Skype and Google Hangouts, as previously mentioned. We're looking for 2 motivated and high-energy middle school and high school students from each county to participate in this committee and represent their local communities. If you know any interested youth, the application is currently live on sparetheairyouth.org, and the deadline to apply for the SAC is July 12th.
Good morning. I'm Vidi. I'm a graduate student at UC Berkeley, and I'm here to talk to you a little bit more about the YES Conference. So the conference will be held on Saturday, February 29, 2020 at El Camino High School in South San Francisco. The location is on hold currently. We're waiting final official confirmation, and we'll receive that in August when the school year begins. The school itself is an ideal location. There is ample parking for our guest shuttles. There are several classrooms, which will be perfect for our breakout sessions. And there's a huge auditorium, which will also serve perfect for our opening and closing ceremonies. And also, a very big plus, the school is right across the street from BART, making it extremely accessible. We will be officially kicking off our outreach to spread the word about the conference in August. The outreach is intended to increase participation and attendance to the conference. We will be using our social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, to help get the word out. We will be presenting directly to local city youth commissions around the Bay and various organizations that represent the youth under TAC. We will be reaching out to grantees that receive funding from the Air District. And once we have established our SAC members, we will work directly with them to help plan the conference. If you have any additional ideas on who we should be talking to or who we should be in contact with, please let us know.
Okay, great, thank you. Thank you, Beattie and Jordan. They're gonna be very busy this summer, and I wanted to give kudos to Jordan. This is her second day here in the office.
Wow.
Okay, in addition to the activities I described earlier and the upcoming 2020 YES Conference, we're exploring additional youth engagement activities. We're looking at creating a youth ambassador program. We wanted to explore how we can better engage with high school students. We'd love to find a mechanism to train high school students to speak to younger elementary students about air quality. This will help create a pipeline of youth educators and educate youth about air quality, transportation, and climate change, and they can learn from each other. We're exploring the idea of creating a scholarship program for Bay Area students. These scholarships will be for students from our most highly impacted communities and who have a passion for improving environmental health and air quality. The community engagement team is also managing the district's community grant program. Through our grantees, we'd like to develop curriculums, activities, and resources that address air quality science. And lastly, hosting formal and structured trainings and workshops specifically targeted for youth and educators on basic air quality 101. We're developing these concepts and can provide future updates as things develop. Staff is very excited about our youth engagement efforts. This concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I'll start down here on the right, Director Joya.
Thanks for the presentation, and thanks for all of you who really spoke on this. And so let me ask, you may already be doing this, but what I have found in working with youth organizations in my area is that it is important to try to reach out to youth-serving organizations and help identify youth that are involved with those organizations as part of this effort, because they then are working and have capacity and are often getting support. So also I've learned that even in our own county, how youth engage is very different whether they're in Walnut Creek or in Richmond or Antioch. And so it's not one size fits all. So my strongest advice would be, and you may be doing this, is to reach out specifically to youth-serving organizations in different parts of the Bay Area, in different types of communities, to hear from them how to best engage in outreach on young people. I know when we were working on a youth commission in our county, just doing outreach and getting high school students to apply was okay, but less effective than actually working with youth-serving organizations who are also helping identify youth that they're helping support and also having adult allies. So I don't know, are you doing that now? Are you working specifically in identifying youth-serving organizations? I know Randy's one is in Rise Center in Richmond. I'm one of the co-founders of Rise. I'm familiar with how that started. They're great. So there are other different types of organizations all around the Bay Area, and each are different depending on their community.
Yes, we've been working with RISE. We've met with the
the Rose Foundation within the last couple weeks. We also work with Earth Team out in Alameda County, Green Ninja down in Santa Clara, San Jose, Bee Magic in Bayview Hunters Point, right. And we're activating our social media accounts and knowing that a lot of our younger generation is on social media and doing.
I would suggest talking to every member of this committee to have them give input into the youth serving organizations that may be in their area,
absolutely.
Because they all know.
Yep.
And I think that would be helpful. Use us as resources on that, who can help give you, you know, sort of the best, point you in the best direction to engage. So we are ensure to get young people from throughout the Nine County Bay Area. So that would be my advice.
Yes, and Raquel and I had met with Director Barrett last year after the YES conference, and we do plan to visit a lot of the local teen commissions, get on their agenda and talk about the upcoming YES conference.
I hear you about teen commissions. I'm actually talking about youth-serving organizations who actually are supporting the young people in their involvement in community things. I'm not saying don't do the teen commissions and don't do youth commissions. I'm saying in addition to that, work with youth-serving organizations that are actually on the ground working all the time on this.
Yes, and we have that as part of our outreach plan, and if you guys have organizations that you can recommend that we hit as well, we're happy to do that.
I think what Director Joy is asking, and I totally agree with him, I mean, we have a whole climate school up in Sonoma County, is to, you know, call our offices, and, you know, what are some youth organizations that we need to contact.
Right.
But I would say to do direct outreach to each one of us on the board is probably the best way of getting the type of feedback that we'd like to give you, and making sure that we're all involved. Nine Bay Area counties is a really big area. And the only way you're going to get down in the weeds there is to by reaching out to the representatives to those counties. So
yeah, all these folks, everyone's here from a community that engages this, and you're here and trying to identify.
That's right.
There's great help here.
Yeah. Yes, we want to help you.
Thank you. We'll take that as a as an action item.
Yeah, thank you, Director Barrett. Any questions?
No, I think that's a good point.
Okay, and I'm going to look to Director Haggerty first.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, first of all, I think the summits are excellent, and I'm sorry we're kind of not doing them this year, but I guess I understand the reasoning behind it. Although if attendance kept going up, it seems like you just want to keep that momentum, but I guess there's only so much bandwidth. So what I would say is, in the past, what I've seen is there's been a small bit of attendance out of, say, Dublin, and I'm being a bit parochial right now, and I apologize, but, you know, Fremont is, I think, the fourth largest city in the Bay Area, and we seem to never get anything out of there. So I would ask staff that they look at, you know, where these youth are coming from, and then look and see, is there somewhere where we could do a little extra outreach to try to get that, and, you know, for me anyways, I'm willing to help. Work with the school districts to see if we can get some engagement. And I would also say that I think, you know, after the summit, it's important to kind of keep some sort of momentum. And to me, in Alameda County, I think it would be relatively easy because we have what's called mini grants, and the mini grants come off of our tipping fees to the landfill. And so teachers can apply for like $25,000, $50,000. And if we kind of tied that in with the school districts and then had some sort of momentum that comes after that, I think that would be really helpful. And I would like to see us try to move a program that doesn't just look at now, but how do we keep the momentum in the future, and what can they be working on over the next year, and how would these mini grants play? Because quite frankly, I'm not really happy with how we spend our mini grants. And I would like to see us maybe try to work with the Air District to come up with something a little bit more substantial.
That sounds great.
Yeah, Director Ross?
Thank you. Good comments by all my colleagues. Hearing excellent work. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to the resumption of the YES conference on Leap Day, which is a great idea.
Yes.
This is a nice coincidence. Do we have an intern program here?
Yes.
and yes. maybe some of the grit we could feed into that or expand it. But maybe as a continuation, as Mr. Haggerty was suggesting, of the momentum after the S conference, maybe one day we have a day where during a board meeting, it would be up to whoever the chair is at that time, where they actually experience governance, get a taste of governance, and they actually, I wouldn't want to scare them off, but actually have them come up here.
Sit with us.
Yeah. Actually, we'll sit in the audience for a half an hour or 45 minutes and have to actually listen to them and give them some type of an agenda. And they can address us. They can sit up here and get a taste of what it's like. And we can come up with public comment and go, you guys aren't doing your job. And, you know, well, maybe we'll skip that. Something like that, something to build to, and they can elect whoever gets to be the directors from their different areas and have a little mini meeting and give them a taste of it and maybe give them something to vote on and pass on to us.
I think that's a great idea, and I'm happy to organize that.
And the directors would have to be forced to have to sit.
Yes.
Or they don't get their per diem.
I think we get to...
And we take their phones away.
Take all of our phones away, and then we have to assume a member of the public. So maybe, you know, half of us are angry oil industry people, you know, or maybe half of us, the other half run landfills.
And the other half are downwind of landfills.
And the
well,
other half are downwind, yeah, something like that, you know, some of our, I think it'd be a great idea, yeah. Okay, you're on it, right?
Yes.
Another comment.
Yes, go ahead, Director Joya.
So, I mean, one of the things too, I've learned a lot by engaging with youth organizations, including RISE, and thought some of my beliefs of what I thought was the right thing have not turned out to be right after listening to what young people have said or youth-serving organizations. And what often they have said is, if you have like a board and you want to have a youth member of that board, it's less effective to point one youth to serve on this board than it is to have, let's say, several, because then they feel they're working with each other more empowered, or they have an adult ally, like say if they're with a youth serving organization who helps with them, because oftentimes putting one young person on a board, and I think, Randy, it was folks at RISE that sort of told me this, right, that putting one young person on a board, like if school board says, oh, we have a youth member over here, so they count, that doesn't work, that's not very effective. So we need to listen to the youth-serving organizations and have them tell us how best to engage young people in that process, because what I thought was right wasn't right. I see Randy wants to say.
It has to be also actionable. Like they actually
can you come to the mic? Because I think you can offer some advice. Yeah, I mean, I think we get this, oh, we're going to sort of have a token youth here, or we're going to put them in this. They have to do something meaningful. And
there has to be some action to
right.
it, right?
Yeah. Hope this is double pay. Just joking. it has to be actionable. It has to, like, they actually have to get something out of it. Like, there has to be, like, real steps taken, not something like I have one token and then you're just here for us to listen to you and then you go back in the corner. They actually have to make a difference. It has to be something that they could come out and say, you know, I'm proud of this, that I supported, that I actually had change. That's important. I know for Richmond specifically, but with those kind of people, like, there has to be an incentive to go. Like, it just can't be, well, you come, you do this. It has to be an extra, like, an incentive to get there, because a lot of people, they do have a lot on their plates. They do have a lot of stuff that they have to do. And take care of, and to take their time, that is part of it as well. But, yeah. And like you said before, like, people at Richmond, the youth of Richmond speak differently how youth in Antioch or youth in Fremont speak, and how they enact on social media is also different. So trying to find those ways to figure that out as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Randy.
So just have our staff listen to these organizations, these youth, and to guide how you do this, because sometimes as adults we think we know and we really don't.
We have so much to learn from our youth. Going back a little bit to the Student Advisory Committee, what I'm concerned about is that the deadline is smack in the middle of summer when students are out on summer vacation.
besides just talking to each one of us in terms of the groups that exist in our localities, how else have you reached out in terms of this application process?
We've met with, I had mentioned earlier, we had met with the Rose Foundation. We're also planning to meet with a couple other youth-serving organizations over the next couple weeks. We are willing to push the deadline back. We don't foresee the first meeting until to be about mid-September. I mean, we do recognize that is a difficult time with a lot of kids going back to school. But as it relates to just planning of the conference, we're trying to be flexible with that July 12th deadline.
Well, I would hope you would reach out to the school districts, albeit I know there's a lot of school districts out there, but if you're going to get an application out to the students, you've got to do that outreach and we always expect people to come to us as if we knew that, as if they knew there was something special there waiting for them. What we need to do is come to them. And since students communicate through social media, there should be social media from the Air Board that's going to reach those students. And that's a big part of engagement that we have a lot to learn in terms of the Air Board. But that's what this committee is all about. So maybe develop some ways that you can reach them via social media. So there's a lot more eyes on this whole opportunity to serve. I'd hate to have some students come up to me and say, you know, in December, gee, I wish I had known about that. I would have applied. Yeah. Director Barrett and Director Joya.
Yeah, I think that those are all good points that have been made here, but the timing really is important. Our youth commission doesn't meet over the summer.
Yeah.
Right.
It would not be effective at all.
Yeah.
And I think that high school counselors do work all summer long, mm-hmm. and they would be a good source to get to so that you can jumpstart it in September. But I do think like maybe even later September would be much better than mid-September.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Back in school.
Yeah, I'd be blunt. This is a bad time.
Yeah, really bad time.
I mean, July 12th is a bad time to a deadline. It's hard to get outreach.
We've gone
through that with things we've done locally. I think you ought to strongly consider pushing back the deadline into this early in the school year. And I also ask that this have geographic, getting to Scott's point about making sure folks from all areas are represented, geographic diversity, gender diversity, racial and ethnic diversity. How many members are going to be on this?
Roughly... We're aiming for an even spread, two representatives per county.
How many?
Two representatives per
county.
Yeah. But last year we did see a lot of drop-off as students were getting ready for SAT testing, applying for colleges. Yeah. So we're willing to hopefully, ideally, build out the group to hopefully 25.
So pretty good broad represent from urban, suburban, right, racial, ethnic, gender, all right. Mm-hmm.
You could go for a younger group too. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking a younger cohort might be where you should be aiming, but then you have the transportation issue mm-hmm. in that, if kids have to get someplace, there's got to be a way for them to get there.
Yes. 11th graders. 11th
graders.
It's middle school and high school.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
So right. Not everybody has a parent that can drive them, or in the public transportation isn't, like from Sonoma County in particular.
Yes.
If this is in Oakland, it's difficult to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Director Joya, did you have something
else? No, that was it.
Is that it? Okay. Anybody, any other comments from the left? No? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're going to keep working on the outreach, and we really want to make this a great conference and make those advisory members not only have a meaningful experience in terms of the things that we work on the Air Board, but teach us something too. Youth have a lot to teach us, and we need to stop and listen. So remember, you guys are our teachers as well. Don't forget that. I want to empower you in that way. So, okay, we're going to move on to our next item then, which is public comment on non-agenda items. Anybody here to comment? No. And then we have committee member on
7, committee member comments. Any committee member comments?
Yeah, I have a request, actually, or a question. In July, I believe we're having, the Air District is hosting a wildfire smoke workshop. Is it July, later in July? August?
A barbecue? Teasing. Huh? Yeah, when is that?
Yeah, we have a tentative workshop. We're looking at a schedule for doing the first workshop on wood smoke burning devices and also our Reg 5 or open burning rules. You know, we had promised to, as part of our wildfire program, to look at where we can help prescribe burning, where we can put some additional season controls on wood burning in fireplaces. So that's our first workshop that we're planning.
So when is that tentatively, is that in July? Am
yes.
I wrong?
Okay. Yeah, I believe it's towards the end of July. 24th is what we're internally circulating drafts and documents, and that's what they're shooting for.
Okay. Yeah. I just, when that gets nailed down to provide us with that information so that we can share it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think this committee in particular, I mean, is very interested in being able to attend, and I know I've got some business travel in the middle of July, but I think I'm back by the 24th. Okay, any other committee member comments? No? Okay. With that, our next meeting will be on Thursday, September 12th. At 9:30 here at the same location, and hope everybody has a nice and fun and productive summer, and that we don't have any more wildfires. This meeting is adjourned.
That's an order.
And that's an order, yeah.